time. So we've got another preacher here today. Brother Mark's going to bring us a message. We're going to open up like we usually do. First song we're going to sing is number 120, Out of the Red Book. Stand and sing. Have any prayer requests today? I need to remember our Gideons that are in New York and bless them with their offering of the Bibles to people who will take them and those who won't. I remember our preacher and the whole family that's down there at the beach that they enjoy their time off and have safe travel back, and everybody else who's at decorations today, Lord, and other places. Anybody else? And that's a tragedy in Boone there. And remember all the students. Remember all, Thomas Sturgill, is he still taking chemo, and all the other ones who are battling cancer. Remember our church. Remember my brother Marcus, he comes to preach today. Lord, been praying for him all week. Remember to pray for our church every week. Pray for your deacons, your Sunday school teachers, everybody. Pray that they seek God's face for their wisdom and decisions they have to make that affect the entire world. Anyone else? Okay. Those who can and will, go ahead and meet us at the altar then. I'll ask Darrell if he'll lead us this morning. If you will, get your white book and we'll sing song number 319.
Before we do that, though, you know what? I shorted you on the last song. We're going to finish it. Let's go to 120 again.
Everybody stand. We'll finish.
I think I'm having a senior moment.
Whoa.
We're going to finish that 120 before we do this.
All right.
We'll leave nothing on that.
Thank you.
All right. It's good because he loved me, guys.
This is my song.
Everybody will.
Everybody will. They'll be glad I'm gone.
So y'all do a good job and practice up for later.
Sing your song when I'm gone. And I just thought I'd get more fit.
Okay, if our brother deacons will come forward, we'll take up our offering. Brother Bob, you bless the offering, please.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for this another beautiful day today, God. We thank you, Lord, for looking down upon us and blessing us through another week. Now, Heavenly Father, I'd like to pray for those who are out on vacation today. We have a large group that's out on vacation. Would you look down upon them and protect them through this day, God? And I pray for their safety as they travel down there and back, oh God. Now, Heavenly Father, would you be with every person that's present here today, God? And I simply pray that they'll seek the Lord each and every time we come together, Lord. Now just please be with us now and bless us throughout this day. Now, God, would you bless this offering today? I pray. For I ask in our blessed name. Amen.
Amen. As you make your way back to the seat, there's only one announcement that we're going to have. We are going to have the church picnic, and it is going to be on Sunday, September 28th, after church. So as soon as we end the service on the 28th on Sunday, we're going to have the church picnic. We're going to leave here, go down there and eat a hot dog and a lot of other stuff. And then we're going to have the hayride and games and whatever proceeds after that. So that'll be Sunday the 28th, right after church. I'm sure there's a sign-up sheet on the back to sign up to bring some covered dish. Okay, and our special singer is going to be Alexandra. Come right on.
We didn't know that we were singing this morning. Alexandra didn't, and that's our fault. But I just want to say I'm thankful this morning that when I talk to my kids and things like that happen, and they and I can say to them, well, it was God's plan. They know that it was in God's plan. And that it's just really, it's a whole lot easier to talk to your children about things if they understand that. And good things and bad things and the way things happen, that he had a plan for us. And it, I'm just thankful that we will all live in glory together.
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim way and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep him ever nigh and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder home supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
Great job. Thank you. All right, Brother Mark, come on and do whatever the Lord lays on your heart.
It takes just a minute, y'all. Just bear with me. I'm old, though. I've got an excuse for it now. Good morning, New Hope. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord and to feel the sweet spirit and all this wonderful talent. Me and my wife's talked about it many times when we've done revival up here, this talent that y'all have in singing and this wonderful, sweet spirit each and every one of you bring each and every time that we've been up here. Alexander, I tell you what, I don't see you sitting nowhere, but you keep that up. You keep that singing up like that. The Lord is going to bless you more than what you can ever handle. Amen. That was wonderful. What a gift that all y'all have got. And like I say again, like to thank y'all. I'd like to take a moment, thank Brother Brad for entrusting me in the pulpit. It's no light matter. I never took it light. When I was pastoring church, I never took it not one bit light who sat in my pulpit or anything like that, and him to trust me like that. It's an honor, and it's a real honor to be here, and most of all, it's an honor to get to serve the Lord. It's just an honor to be there serving him. And folks, there's nothing minuscule, anything short, or anything that's just not real important when you're serving the Lord. Everything is just as important, whether you're preaching, singing, taking care of business matters, mowing the lawn. It's all important. It's got to be done, and the Lord will bless you for it. Just be obedient to him and to serve him. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles this morning, we're going to be coming out of Romans. We'll be coming out of Romans, the first chapter. Me and my wife was talking when we was coming up here just a little bit this morning, and those of y'all remember back 2 or 3 years ago when we done a revival up here of the the gentleman that came that one night, I think it was about the third night of our revival, he was a hitchhiker. He was hitchhiking across country. And I remember where he sit. He sit right back there. We was trying to find the guardrail that me and her first seen him sitting on when we was coming to church. And shame on us, we didn't stop to pick him up. Some of y'all did. And I think maybe it was Brad's daughter and husband that done that. But anyhow, we was talking about that. And we've talked about it many times in churches. I'm just as sure as I'm standing up here and breathing right now, I just believe that was a visitor from heaven. I think he was, you know, the Bible speaks, you know, we might be entertaining angels unawares. And if I've ever seen such a countenance and a glow on a person's face sitting right back there, what a spirit it was that night. Anyway, we talk about that quite a bit. I hope it impressed quite a bit upon you. But as I said, we're going to be coming out of the first chapter of Romans. We're going to be starting in about the 18th verse, and we're going to read several verses. We'll read several verses, and then we're going to just do what God lays upon our heart. But in the reverence of reading of God's Word, if I could ask each and every one of you that's able to stand, please. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Let's back up. Let's begin in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beast, and the creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, which changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave him up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in which they against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. Men with men working which is unseemly, and receiving themselves recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do they the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let us pray. Father, we now ask you to allow us to clearly, Father, see these scriptures, that you may reveal them to our hearts, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray now, Father, for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us, Lord, and just indwell in us and just show us, Father, that what these scriptures mean, how we can apply them to our lives, Father, how we can take this word out into this lost and dying world and just be better people and better servants of yours. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said together, amen. If you would, please be seated. Don't exactly know where we're going with this, but we're going to see. Today's reading of God's holy word, we should see the absolute importance of not neglecting the opportunities of learning all that we can about God and the will that He has for us in our life by reading these Holy Scriptures and studying all we can. We read the first part of these Scriptures, just give you just a little bit of a prelude here. We read the first part of these Scriptures about the wonderful benefits that we have, having a close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, how do we have a close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes, we become saved. We accept God's Son as our sacrifice for our sins. But to remain close and for our walk to deepen with Him, we have to stay in close touch with Him. How do we do that? Folks, the number one way that I know of doing that in this world and everything is His Word. His Word, the mind of God. You know, you have the mind of God in your hand right now if you're holding your Bible. You have God's very thoughts. You have God's inner being in Himself. God has conveyed this to us to reveal to us in His time exactly what He has, His will for us in our life. You know, it ain't like that movie where, I've used this reference many times. I know, Debbie, you're probably getting tired of hearing it, but here it comes again. We see this movie of Moses, you know, the Ten Commandment movie where Charlton Heston receives this Ten Commandments from God from, you know, up on Mount Sinai. We all waiting around for God to speak to us in that big booming voice coming out of that burning bush. Seldom does God speak in that manner. God speaks to us in a still small voice. God speaks to us through His Word. And as long as you're reading it, then God is speaking to you. These are God's, every word, folks, let me tell you something, it ain't just part of them, two-thirds of them, like a lot of churches has come to believe now. Every jot, every diddle, everything in this book is God-inspired. If you don't believe that, I wouldn't even bother reading any of it. Amen? Or oh me. That's the way it is. Many people use this set of verses that I just read to you to preach against another great sin that's going on in our society and all that now, but I don't think that's where God's leading me this morning. We're not going to be talking a whole lot about the homosexual lifestyle and all that is coming up and all that, and all these states are trying to get legalized same-sex marriages and all that. That ain't nothing but sin. I don't know if God leads me into that, then we'll talk about that today, but I believe we're going to talk about what is the number one problem in our society today with ourselves and with churches. I'm not going to say y'all may just have a very, very rigid life where you just read and you don't deviate from that at all. Praise God for that if you don't. It just stay with it. But I believe the biggest problem that we have as even as Christianity or a society as a whole is we have a lack of knowledge of God's Word. There's so much error in our churches today, and if people just exactly know what God's Word said, the Bible is not a big gray area like you hear everybody say it. No, the Bible's not a gray area. The Bible's black and white. Maybe if you don't understand the Scripture, it's because it's not your time. God ain't revealed it to you in that time. He will. You need to study and pray on it. And when it's time for you to know, God's going to let you know what the Scripture and everything means. How many of you have been read Scriptures for years and years and years, and then you just happen to read across it another day, and boom, boom, it just comes up to you in a whole different manner? Then it was your time. It was your time, man. I'm sorry, y'all, if I get a little bit loud. Alan, you may have to turn that down. I preached in a holiness church Thursday night, and I'm still wound up about that. You're loud in those churches, but I love them churches. I love that church over there we go to sometimes and get the opportunity to preach. They're God-fearing, God-loving people, but they don't mind letting you know it. Amen. Let me tell you, I love it going over there. A type of sermon like this don't gain a whole lot of favors. But that ain't what I come for, y'all. I love being with you, and then we love coming up here and being with you folks and everything like that. But I'm up here to preach God's Word this morning. Don't take me wrong or anything like that. I've been in error plenty enough myself. And you know why every time I've noticed why God lays this sermon on my heart so strong? Every time I'm in error, Brother Bob, it's because I have not read the Scriptures and learned what God has for me in my life and how I ought to be conducting my life, how I ought to be conducting my Christian walk. You cannot conduct the Christian walk, folks, if you don't understand a little bit about the Bible. Amen? You just can't, you can't do that. That is why when I was a pastor, You can ask my wife. I was so insistent upon my church reading the Bible, studying the Bible, being at Bible studies. It's done me a whole lot more good to see my folks turn out during a big Bible study than even a preaching service. Folks, I tell you, we've got to know what God's Word is. We got to know so we can discount the counterfeit. You know how they learn bank tellers? I've used that illustration too, Debbie. Just go ahead and mark another check mark down. But anyway, how they learn bank tellers how to pick out a counterfeit bill. You know that money they send, that counterfeit money? And by the way, they're getting real good at that stuff anymore. They have to put watermarks and things on them because Xerox machines are doing so good. I had a friend that was in the FBI, and that's what they done mostly, was chase down college students that might run them off a few $20 bills and spread them out. But anyhow, they learned them not to how to find a counterfeit, but they learned them what was real, how to find out and feel what's real, which bill is real. You know, there ain't but one real thing. There ain't but one real thing. If you learn it, then everything else is going to be automatically rejected by you, isn't it? That's the same with God's Word, folks. There ain't but one truth. There ain't but one real thing in our lives. There ain't but one thing that we can stand, that we can build upon, that's a solid ground, and that's God's Word. Amen. That's the way that works. But I used to encourage my church to even read through the Bible. Start at the front, go to the back. Somebody says, well, I don't read the Bible like a book. Well, read it any manner you want to, but pick it up and read it. I suggest you read it from cover to cover. Because then you ain't tempted to jump around and read all the sweet stuff. Sometimes rabbits will run out in the field and they'll just eat the blossoms off the top of that clover. You've seen them do that, I'm sure. No, you've got to go down and eat on the stem too. Go to K&W Cafeteria, you got to get the whole menu. No, you'll pick through. You ain't going to eat them lima beans and this boiled cabbage over here. You're going to get you some green beans and meat and stuff. Uh-uh. That's not what God's Word's all about. We got to take it all. We need to know it all. So read through the Bible. That God blesses me when I was at the church over there that I was at, that the start in the front of a book, like Romans. I've preached through the whole book of Romans before. That way you get it all. You get all the good, you get all the bad. You're not tempted to jump around into the sweet stuff, you know, or anything like that. But I thank God for that, and that's just the way He did. We miss blessings not understanding all of God's Word, whether it's a Word that we can abide by, whether it's a Word that steps on our toes. Let me tell you something, folks. Preachers get their toes stepped on just as bad as you and us do. We just get it earlier. It's early in the morning when we get iron stepped on. Y'all's got woke up and everything like that. But we cannot be without error if we don't know what God's Word is saying to us this morning. Anytime. I'm going to take a look at these first two, or a couple of these scriptures right here. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm awful dry. I have this. When you see this goldenrod start blooming, you can come to your mind right then. You need to pray for Mark. Oh, boys, that stuff just busts my head. I'll tell you what, it's done it for years and years and years. I'm going to look at verse 19:20 again and read it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, I didn't see no gray area or anything in there like that. It's clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Paul tells us of the helps that they had by the discoveries made coming to the knowledge of God. They know what God's Word is saying. They have the knowledge, among other things, that there was one supreme being, the Lord God of Israel. This was a big deal right here. This is a big deal. You might say, preacher, we know it's just God. Back in, they didn't have hardly that luxury. We're talking about the Roman Empire. Paul is writing this letter to the Romans, okay? Rome, Italy. The great big empire. They took over country after country after country over there, and they made that country what they call a tribute. That country was called a tribute. What that country was to do was to pay taxes to Rome, to the emperor, and hold the emperor higher than anything else. Like that. And if they did that, if they pledged their allegiance to the emperor, then they didn't come in there and bother them. They didn't come in there and bother them, as long as they wasn't no big row getting stirred up or nothing like that. They wouldn't bother them. Then, matter of fact, they'd let them have any religion they wanted to do. In fact, sometimes they would embellish it themselves. That day, in them days, they had many, many, many gods and idols and everything they worshipped. The goddess Diana, just many, many, many of them that they did. And Paul mentioned her by which may be known, implying that there's a great deal more to be known and even more that may not be known. What Paul applies to them scriptures also as well. But they had a great, great many gods around Rome at that time, depending on what country they'd just seized or anything like that. But Paul says there's a whole lot more about our God that you don't even know. Much more that you need to learn that you can learn. You know, God knows a whole lot more than what our minds can ever, right now in this world, conceive or have in it. But yet, a lot of preachers, and I ain't just beating up on preachers this morning, but they shouldn't do it. They'll go to reading through this book. They'll teach them in these seminaries and things like that. They'll go to reading between the lines. Folks, you better learn to master the book before you start trying to speculate on other stuff. There's a whole lot more they can learn in there than going piddling around with their speculation and theories and things like that. There's so much in God's Word. I tell you what, the more that I learn of God, the more I realize what little bitty I know. Amen. Y'all feel the same way? The more I learn of God, it just seems to start snowballing. Then I realize just how little bit I know about Him. There's so much for us to learn, but we're not going to learn. You're not going to learn a whole lot by listening to a preacher. You just ain't going to do it. One day a week, or 2 days a week maybe, you get two messages. Folks, this is a 7 day a week thing for you to learn God's Word. Miss Vestal, you teach more than 2 days a week, I'm sure. You wouldn't get too far along if you didn't, would you? It's a seven day a week job. You've got to do it. Our finite minds cannot comprehend everything. So it takes a lot and a lot and a lot and a lot. I don't believe there's anybody of all, any mankind has mastered the Bible yet. As a matter of fact, one of my favorites, Adrian Rogers, used to speak on it. He hadn't mastered it. Never did till the Lord took him home with his cancer. Lord, I just noticed how many cancers you mentioned. Just take a minute. Bless y'all and bless the ones up in here, Scott. Y'all know a lot of folks. I had me around of it myself since I seen you, but God's blessed me and things are going well so far, and I just praise God for it. He's learned me so much even through that stuff. But anyhow, getting back to the message, I cannot think of anything that we can do that would please God more than us searching the Scriptures, praying to Him, studying Him, trying to find out just exactly His mind and His thoughts and His will for us in our lives, our obedience, our humbleness toward that. Folks, we will not know God's will till we study and learn of God. We're not going to learn God's will, what He's got for us at all. But the Bible says here, we're going to be without excuse. For every one of us has had the opportunity to learn. Every one of us has heard the gospel, hadn't we? We know how to become saved. There's not going to be any excuses like, I just didn't feel good that Sunday. And where we're in error, standing before the judgment seat of Christ, you know we're going to make an account for all things we did, good and bad. Everything. And I don't think God's going to accept the excuse. God ain't going to accept no excuse. I don't think He's going to say, well, God, I had to mow my yard that Wednesday. I couldn't go over to Bible study. I don't think God is going to honor that. I don't think He's going to say, well, that's okay, honey. That's okay. That's how we do our young'uns now, but I don't think God's going to do his young'uns that way. Let's move on down these verses. We'll never get out of here if we don't. Verse 21, I'm going to read about three or four there. Because that which they knew, God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, I want you to really bear down on that statement. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is their enormous error here. Their enormous error they made. Even though God had gave them much knowledge of Himself, they are without excuse, Paul is telling them right now, as we are. When we leave the faith and the truth and go off and go back into the world, the Bible says in essence what we're doing is changing the truth of God into a lie. That kind of says, ouch, me. I tell you it does. Amen, oh me, something like that. Not to glorify God as God is, in effect, not to glorify Him at all. Amen? It's the same thing. To respect Him for anything less is not to glorify, but we dishonor God. We dishonor Him. Well, to be thankful, God has allowed us to learn of Him. You know, God didn't have to leave us this book. He could have left everything up to us on our own. He loves us too much for that. We sang this morning about God, how He loved us and what all He did. Because He loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. He didn't leave us alone. We ought to be thankful He left us. All these resources we had to learn of Him. And to those of us who do not improve our knowledge, we're being nothing more than thankful. Like I said, folks, it steps on the preacher's toes too. Paul said they were professing themselves to be wise. Boy, don't we think a lot of ourselves in this day and time about being wise? We've got science, we've got biology, we've got all that stuff. And I'm not picking on folks such as that and in that way. I know some very intelligent, fine people that have the faith. But a lot of people think, I'm not speaking of intelligence anyway. I'll just back her up. I ain't speaking about intelligence anyway. I'm speaking of somebody that thinks they're smart. Somebody's smarter, so smart that they don't need God. Amen. Sometimes we do that. I've heard, well, I've got it going pretty good. I've got a pretty good job and house that paid off. Oh, listen, I don't really need God, I don't think. That's what you're saying, not coming to church and worshiping and giving Him your heart. You know, the Egyptians in that day, they were considered a very learned people, intellectuals, if you will. They worshipped an ox and an onion. I ain't kidding you. The Greek, you've heard of the intelligence and the libraries and everything, all the Greek had and all that. They excelled themselves in wisdom. Well, they just adored diseases and passion. The Romans, supposedly the wisest of all, they worshiped Furies. Y'all know what Furies are? It ain't Plymouth. You remember them old Plymouth Furies? It was little three-winged goddesses that flutter around, you know, like these little fairy things. Just like today, you say, preacher, I don't worship no Furies or onions or anything like that. But we still think we're above all that, don't we? We fell right into idolatry today. Many have. It might be their jobs, might be their billfold, might be their golf clubs, the fishing poles, what have you, what have you. We ascribe deity to things like that. Now that onion ain't so funny, is it? Amen? The greatest honor that God ever done, besides saving us and giving us salvation, God made us in His image. We should be so honored and humbled by that. God made us in His image. But in today's society, the greatest dishonor man has done to God is that we've tried to make God in the image of man. We want Him to comply to our set of rules, our standards, our likes, our conveniences. We change the truth, the Word of God, into a lie. And we do this every time we knowingly go against God's rules and we sin. Every time. Every time. You never thought about it like that, did you? I didn't either. That was one real whomp on my toes. But you say, I must follow all these rules. Yes, you do. With God, it's all or none. No middle ground with God. This ain't Switzerland. You know, Switzerland's that little neutral country in Europe where all the peace treaties and all get signed and everything like that. With God, it'll be all or none. The creature cannot be worshipped more than the Creator. We're going to go on to verse 26 here through 32. I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. But what Paul is telling them here is the results of falling away from God, going astray, if you will, not knowing what His Word is, not knowing, having the knowledge that has been entrusted to us from God. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to learn. You know, that's a lot of problem we see probably even today. A lot of folks don't want to learn about God. Why not? Because they might have to change their lifestyle a little bit. You know, I learned of God, and the more I learned of God, the more I had to change right after I got saved and in the few years on up into it. There's a whole lot of things that I had in my heart, my sinful heart, and in my corrupt mind. You know, we all got a corrupt mind. We've all got the seeds of sin planted within us. When Adam fell in the garden, there's a lot of that seed I had to get rid of out of my mind. And it ain't plumb gone. Sometimes that old stuff will flare right up on you if you ain't careful. Hey, man, maybe I'm the only one that has that problem. But it happens. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to do anything but just what would please them. Creating God in their image, in other words, if you will. That's what they were looking to do. They said to the Almighty, depart, because your thoughts contradict our lusts. Them's old hard words, I know, but what gets laid on the heart, that's what you got to hear. Turning thee over to a reprobate mind is what the Bible says they do here. You know what a reprobate mind is? I kind of had to look it up. I didn't know what it exactly was. It means of a mind that's void of all sense, of all good judgment. It cannot discern things that are different. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they couldn't distinguish their right hand from their left hand in spiritual matters. Just plain old knowing right from wrong. It just seems like people don't know right from wrong anymore. Bless that family, that Smith family, that their daughter had such a demise up here at Appalachian, you know. Bless that family, Lord, I tell you. And you know, that's something that comes from absolutely no good. Something happened. Folks, when our judgment is reconciled to sin, just like it is with all this stuff trying to get the family values things changed and marriage just thrown into the toilet, you know. Once our judgment is reconciled to sin, we're living on the suburbs of hell. Amen. We're living on the suburbs of hell. No wickedness is too awful. Where do they stop after this marriage thing? No wickedness is too awful. Even if it defies the laws of nature, And it most certainly does. Used to be, this is out of the second book of Mark, it's my opinion, in other words. Man, we used to be here, animals here. Well, by gollies, in some matters, we've done the opposite. Man down here, animals up here. Amen? It's exactly as I see it. Against the laws of nature, all being turned over to a reprobate mind. And a reprobate mind will comply. It will comply to it. I feel like I'll just take that subject, same-sex marriage. I'll just take it and say, I think if people know more about what their Bible said and tried to understand it and pray to God, I don't think it would be an issue in this country. I absolutely don't. I feel better about people than that. They just don't understand. They don't know. That's why it's so important to see these little old kids in church. Boy, and that wonderful song that got sung. Folks, we got to start then. We can't start when we get set in our ways. It's got to be started then. We're that close to losing Christianity anyway. One generation, heard a preacher say, we're one generation away from the extinction of Christianity. You let one generation just stay away from it, and it's gone. It'll be gone. That's exactly the truth. And to this list of sins that he gave us, we ain't going to get into that today, but I will mention every sin you commit. You know God hates sin, don't he? Well, let's turn back around and look at it the other way. Sin hates God, don't it? Every sin hates God. Well, if we commit a sin, what are we saying? Yeah, I know, I took that in two. I'm not talking, now sin is sin, God hates them all. I think God hates one sin just as bad as he hates other. Stealing, lying, killing, blaspheming, all of it. God hates it all equally. Don't take me wrong, I really believe that with all my heart. God hates sin. And sometimes we sin, don't we? We fall short. Old hammer hits a thumb or something like that type scenario. But what I'm really talking about, I think this sin that we think about, that we premeditate in our mind. Now, I believe that's a different league right there. Every time you commit one of those, just not on that list but all of them, that sin hates God that you just committed. That should be enough to humble every one of us. For in a sense of our, as I said, our original corruption, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and we inherited from them our sinful nature, for every heart by nature then has a seed of every sin in it. That's why we need a close walk with the Lord. That's why we need to know His Word. That's why we need a good relationship with the Lord, with conviction of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we ain't got a chance on our own. That's why he said we didn't have a chance with our salvation. We do not have a chance without God and living a good life. And the Bible tells us, I'm going to bring this to a close, and the penalty of sin is death. Eternal death. You know, if God tarries and we die before, you know, we're all going to go one way or another. If he tarries, we're all going to go by way of the grave, aren't we? These bodies is going to die. These bodies are going to die. My cancer may come back up. That may be the avenue that God uses to take me out of this world. Who knows? May fall over dead before I get done here. But I'm not talking about that kind of death. Physical death is something we better understand, ain't it? We more knowingly understand it, is what I'm trying to say. Eternal death, we don't understand its implications fully. physical death, we more, like I say, we more understand it. And this, unfortunately, this is the death we fear the most. Amen? We're afraid of just our old bodies are dying. And that's the death we fear the most. Folks, that is a far cry of the way things used to be. I've said it many a funeral sermon. That we've got it backwards. We think we're right now in the land of the living. And then when we die, we're going into the land of the dead. It's the exact opposite. We're right now living in the land of the dying. But if we're a child of God this morning, I want you to listen to me. Say amen if you're listening. I want you to listen to this. If you're a child of God, death is going to be nothing more than that, like that door right back there that you're going to go through, and you're going to step into the land of the living like you've never lived before. You're going to live a life that is so full, so abundant, and guess what? You're going to live a life at the feet of Jesus. A place called heaven. He will create for you if you don't know Him this. If you don't know Him this morning as your Lord and Savior, I want you to really think about it. Don't you want a mansion in heaven? I'll take a cardboard box in heaven to stay in if I can just get to heaven. I'm going to heaven. But that ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said in my Father's house there are many mansions. And that He was going to go create one for me. And guess what? He's going to come back and receive me of His own. He ain't going to send no angels. Jesus Christ Himself, the one that died and bore my sins upon the cross, the one that took such a terrible beating for my sins and had to suffer death upon the cross and separation from the Father for a while. That's one thing come back and get me. Amen. You used to say, preacher, you stand up there bragging awful big. I ain't bragging. I'm just talking what the Lord says, that He tells us in this book here, His Word, His promise. And God, the Bible says, God cannot lie. He's going to come and receive me. Amen. I'm so unworthy of that, and I'm so humbled that He would do that. But He, you know what? He ain't do nothing for me that He won't do for you. Each and every one of you. You know, talking about Brad and him on vacation, y'all got a real good pastor. I mean, y'all got a Jim Dandy. Take care of that fella. Now, I'm telling you what, he's a good one. But you got to get out and get you a little rest. I remember being pastor a long time, and then so you just got to get out and clear your mind, and it helps you. Y'all be praying for him if that happens and all, and he comes back in here lit up on from the fire from the altar of God. You know, maybe the angels will touch his lips with the coals and everything. He'll just come in and fire down. But anyway, y'all take good care of him. But he'll tell you the same as I am, that every one of you's got a reservation if you don't know the Lord. We've all got reservations. You know, he probably got a reservation down at a hotel or something at the beach where they can stay. That just assures you when you get there that they got a place for you. Well, each and every one of us that are born of woman have a reservation. And it's either one place or the other. No in-betweens or nothing like that. We've either got a reservation for hell or heaven. Jesus Christ is the only one that can switch them reservations. You know, sometimes you got to get them switched. I think me and her went on vacation. I had to switch a day or something or another, I believe. I can't remember. Sometime or another. So I just called the people down there. You got to call upon the Lord to get this reservation switched. You got to call upon Him. You know, talking about fearing death and looking at physical death versus eternal death, we'll spend our life savings in one day to stay alive a little bit longer. And there ain't nothing wrong with that, let me tell you. God put it in you, a will to live, the will to survive. That's what he instilled in that. But it doesn't begin to compare with the implications of eternal death. But we just seem to pay just a little mind to it, our eternal death. You know, for an example, and this is a wonderful thing too, I know people that's done it, have donated our organs to folks, and I mean donate them while they're still alive. I know a couple folks that give kidneys away so somebody else could have a kidney so they could go on living, not do the dialysis thing and all that, you know. They donate organs to folks while they were alive to help them stay alive here. but they may never share the gospel with them for their eternal life. Now, to give a kidney to someone or to give a liver or something and be so big-hearted, that's probably a greater act of love just about it as dying for somebody to me. But we might not never share the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone for an eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for these blessed holy scriptures that you leave us with. Lord, we want to thank you that you, Father, just so desire for us to know of you. So much, Father, that you'll just help us do anything that we call upon you for to learn the scriptures. Father, we want to thank you that you didn't just abandon us here on our own, but you're there with us to lead us. Lord, I just pray, Father, this morning, that if there be one here this morning that don't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you convict their heart. I pray that you speak to their heart, Lord, and Lord, just plead with them to come on back home. Lord, you have no desire for anyone to perish. You desire for all, though, Father, to have everlasting life. Father, just speak to their heart. Remind them just how fragile life is. How, Lord, we don't know at what age or what time, whether we live a ripe old age or Father, go at a younger age. We know that death is the great equalizer amongst all men. Lord, speak to that heart. Lord, don't let them leave these church doors this morning without getting things right with you. Lord, and to anyone, Father, that just might need to come back to you. They've made that profession, Lord, but the path got wide for them. Lord, they wandered off. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that one too. Or to any other need, Lord, as we sing a song here in just a minute, that you'll speak to them hearts and they'll just come and get things made right with you. Lord, for the angels to be rejoicing in heaven. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you do for us, all your blessings. And Lord, most of all, for that salvation that you made sure that we had an opportunity to obtain. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen and amen. I don't know what closing hymn that you've got. Let's have one, though, or some kind if we can. Y'all, you'uns just pick it and we'll sing it. The Lord's speaking to your heart, though, this morning. Well, don't pass it up. I see so many cases where people put stuff off too long. Things happen to us, don't they? These little old bodies of ours, they ain't much. They're kind of fragile. Don't take much to bring them down. You know, I thought I was invincible at one time, but the doctor spoke them words to me, you know, that disease that everybody else gets, you don't get it, you know, cancer. That's supposed to be somebody else getting that, you know, that you hear about. It'll humble you. And y'all well know what I'm talking about because many of you experienced and know people and everything else. Folks, life's fragile. Don't play around. Don't play Russian roulette with your eternal soul. I'm sure if God granted us 5 seconds in hell and 5 seconds in heaven, they wouldn't be a lost person ever. One's just that great and wonderful and one's just that awful and bad. Think about that as we sing this song, if the Lord speaks to you. Yuns, come on up. Yeah.
cross where the dear